American woman. It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter and go over to Facebook and give us a like. Thank you to each of you for listening. I greatly appreciate you today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with as well, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and the people over here at Crawford Broadcasting. We've got a great show planned for you today. It is Veterans Day week. We have been featuring a veteran in the third and fourth segment of each show, and I'm getting feedback that you are really appreciating these stories. Steve, I know that you have really appreciated them as well.
They speak to another time. I don't know. I just try to get my head around what was actually being done, what these guys were actually experiencing, whatever conflict they were in. There was just, when you're in the ultimate conflict of your life is on the line, it changes everything, and you can hear it. Even though they might have been telling their story now for over 50 years, you can still hear it. Yeah. In their words.
You know, what I have found as I have interviewed so many of these veterans for my America's Veteran Stories with Kim Monson show, which we will be bringing that over to KLZ beginning in January, very excited about that, is that combat experience is seared in their brains like it was just yesterday. And I think that when you're in a life and death situation, when you see death, when you see life hanging in the balance, it's something that you don't forget. Today, we're going to be talking with Captain Doug Chamberlain. He's a Marine veteran, and he's written an important book. It's Bury Him, a memoir of the Vietnam War. And the quote was, "Don't rock the boat. This is an order. You will not want to miss that." That's going to be in the third and fourth segment of the show. Second segment, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio. A couple of things. As we all know, the Obamacare question is in front of the Supreme Court right now. We want to find out what Dr. Jill thinks about that, as well as she's been doing a lot of research on this election fraud. It seems like it is, I would like to say it, we're getting close to rampant would be the word I'd like to use, Steve.
It's everywhere, and it takes your breath away. We have been immersed in wrongdoing now for so long that this type of news doesn't seem to gather much attention anymore. People see it, and either through their lack of concern and or the conditioning that the major media has put out there in terms of, this is a done deal. It's already Biden. He will be the next president. And people just go on with their lives. They're not concerned about fraud.
Well, and I think that it is a concerted effort to have people, as you say, just go ahead and just accept that narrative. And it is so interesting. Again, we've talked about it this week, that on Saturday morning, all the mainstream media called the race for Joe Biden, even with all these questions out here regarding voter fraud. And so we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio about that.
They did that as if they were being cued. Okay, it's now Saturday morning. It's time for you guys to announce the winner. And wow.
And as you say, I think it's conditioning.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are just relieved. It's like, oh, this thing is over.
But it's not.
It's not over.
And the funny thing is I think it might be on our side. We don't know it sometimes. We get so, whatever.
Impatient.
Impatient. But the more time goes by, the more of this dirt seems to keep coming out of places and, you know, out from under the rug or wherever it's been swept. It's becoming more and more visible.
It is becoming more and more visible, and we need to continue to talk with people about this. And I know that a lot of folks want to just get back to regular life. If Joe Biden becomes president, life as we know it is going to be totally, totally different. And I find that that is heavy on my heart, because we'll go to this Lou Holtz piece that Patty pulled here in just a minute. But before we do that, wanted to let you know, yes, we'll talk with Jason McBride at the bottom of the hour as well, and then Doug Chamberlain in segments 3 and 4. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force. And everyday people do not do well under socialism. And that is why we do this show, is to help you get your brain around these different issues so that you can talk with friends and family and colleagues about these things. For so many years, we've been told it's not polite to talk about religion or politics. But yet the left was talking about religion and politics all of the time, pushing an agenda forward. And while we were being courteous, we were losing the narrative, and we've got to get the narrative back on that. The quote for today, and this was pretty funny. If you'd like to have a laugh today, you need to go out and DuckDuckGo search Bob Hope quotes. He was a funny guy. And as you know, he, beginning in 1941 and continuing for nearly 50 years, entertainer and movie star Bob Hope brought his variety show to military camps and war zones around the world. He was born in 1903 and he died in 2003. That means he was 100 years old when he passed on. But this is what he said. He said, "I saw your sons and your husbands, your brothers and your sweethearts. I saw how they worked, played, fought, and lived. I saw some of them die. I saw more courage, more humor in the face of discomfort, more love in an era of hate, and more devotion to duty than could exist under any tyranny." I think that's really powerful, Producer Steve.
It is, but I've seen you. We've all seen the video clips of him doing his thing in the war zones, and you saw the way the crowd, his audience, was looking at him, so grateful for a slice of America in this foreign place. And it was just beyond description what he was doing. And I don't know if he was, you know, if the U.S. government was giving him money to do those things. Certainly they covered his costs of doing it. But I want to believe that he was doing it because he knew it was the right thing to do.
Well, it really was, and it took courage for him to go to these war zones as well, and the entertainers that went with him. And anyway, I thought that was a very special quote, and I just remember the pictures of him on the television with the troops out there listening to him and watching the show. And so thank you, Bob Hope. Let's go over to a piece that Patty pulled, and this is from Lou Holtz. And you know him, he's a retired American football coach. He's a sportscaster, author, and motivational speaker. And he says, "The Democrats are right. There are two Americas, the America that works and the America that doesn't, the America that contributes and the America that doesn't. It's not the haves and the have-nots. It's the do's and the don'ts. Some people do their duty as Americans. They obey the law. They support themselves. They contribute to society, and others don't. That's the divide in America. It's not about income inequality. It's about civic irresponsibility. It's about a political party that preaches hatred, greed, and victimization in order to win elective office. It's about a political party that loves power more than it loves country. That's not invective. That's truth. And it's about time that someone said it. The politics of envy was on proud display a couple of weeks ago when President Obama pledged the rest of his term to fighting income inequality. He noted that some people make more than other people, that some people have higher incomes than others. And he says that's not just. That is the rationale for thievery." I think that pretty well nails it. And the politics of envy is what socialism is based on. The American idea is that you look at someone that's successful and you say, oh my gosh, in America, anything is possible. If I work hard, I can achieve my dreams as well. But what happens with socialism is basically people look at others and they say, I don't have that, and I don't want you to have that either. Therefore, I will use force, whether or not it's, we're not to a weapon yet, although I should say that. I will use force. I will go out because I am mad, and I will destroy your business. I guess that's a part of force. But they also will take it via policy. We could take a look at the oil and gas industry right here in America, or right here in Colorado. And if Biden does become president in America as well, they will use policy, they'll use rules, regulations, taxation to take away your right to your livelihood. And that is what is on the line right now, Steve. That's why I think my heart is heavy, because I see a Biden America where there's misery across the country. And yes, we'll be equal. There will be the haves. There will be the elites, the bureaucrats, the politicians, the interested parties. And then the rest of us will be, they'll use taxation to take our stuff. They'll take rules and regulations to take our stuff. Just take a look at what has happened with these 217 plus orders here in Colorado that Governor Polis has used to close down people's businesses under the guise of saying that he is protecting people. And my heart is heavy because I see what could happen. On the other hand, I saw a lot of different people, and they said, God's got this. Keep the faith. Be patient. Continue to pray. And I think that's really a good advice, Steve.
Well, as you were reading the Lou Holtz piece, my mind went back to 2012, I think it was, the infamous Obama was out stumping, and he's actually face to face with a businessman, mm-hmm. telling him, you didn't build that. Somebody else built it for you. And that somebody else, you know, I guess he was alluding to the government. And I'd love to find that gentleman today and get his thoughts on what was going through his head when he's face to face with Obama, telling him that his business and any success that he had was not his own.
And I just want to mention, I want to talk just a little bit about that, Steve, because I've thought a lot about that. I had conversations with people. They said, yes, government built the road that went by the business that allowed you to be successful. But it's like, wait a minute, that road goes by everybody's house. So shouldn't everybody be as successful as that guy? Or was he successful because he went out and he worked hard? He probably put in 60, 70 hours a week to get his success. So the guy that's driving by and not working that hard, should he be able to use government, because of what Obama said, Obama built the road, to take more of the productive person, the do, to give to the don'ts? Does that make sense, Steve?
It does. But I just think of the level of the brainwashing that was going on in that little incident. Obama knew his words weren't just contained in that room. He knew those words were going out across the nation. And it was brainwashing and saying, well, you know, free enterprise and you know, our form of economy is not so much the issue as it is what the government can do for you.
Yeah. And the implication is you didn't build that so we can take it. We're going to go to break, though, because we'll be talking with Dr. Jill here in just a moment. Before we do that, though, I love entrepreneurs, and Hooters Restaurants has great entrepreneurs. They have 5 locations: Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. Last night, I had delivered to my door some of their great barbecue shrimp. I had a few friends together. But they have all kinds of specials. They have specials for game day, to go, party pack. Actually, Wednesday's Wings Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99. They have lunch specials. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Dr. Jill Vecchio.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lauren Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio. She is a regular guest on the show. We're going to be recording a podcast that will roll out this weekend in the newsletter. You won't want to miss that. Producer Steve said, Jill's on the line and she's fired up. Okay, Dr. Jill, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Kim. Good morning. Well, I think on the podcast, we're going to talk about kind of the lawsuits and the accusations of voter fraud, what kind of evidence they have, how that could work, how the election has been manipulated, what the different lawsuits are, that kind of thing. So that's going to be very informative and really timely. And then today we talk about the Obamacare Supreme Court discussion, correct?
Correct.
Cool. Now, can I go ahead and get started?
Please do.
Okay. Let's back up a little bit to 2012. This was the election Romney versus Obama. I was a surrogate speaker for Romney. Only with respect to the Supreme Court decision. So I had to be completely up on exactly what was happening. I read the opinions, listened to the discussions on that case. Absolutely fascinating. What they decided was they were challenging the individual mandate, saying that it couldn't be upheld because of the Commerce Clause. I'm going to regress just a little bit here. The Commerce Clause is in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the United States Constitution that basically says the federal government has the right to regulate commerce between the states. And, it's kind of a relatively vague clause, and you and I and Molly went over it when we were going through the Constitution of how the Commerce Clause has been completely abused and bastardized over through many, many cases, weird cases where the Commerce Clause was upheld. The reason that's important is because we don't want the federal government to have total control and regulation over our health care. That's the idea. So the Supreme Court, in all of their hearings, decided no, the individual mandate, which means that everybody has to purchase insurance, it's in Obamacare, could not be upheld through the Commerce Clause. That would be an abuse of the Commerce Clause, which is good news. But then they also, then Judge Roberts agreed with the Democrat appointees that the mandate, the individual mandate, could be upheld because it fell under the Constitution's, or under Congress's authority to tax. Okay, that was it. So then in 2017, after Trump was in office, they passed a Tax Cut and Jobs Act, which reduced the penalty for the individual mandate or the tax to zero, essentially negating the effectiveness of the individual mandate. And that took effect January 2019. In Texas, they brought a case. It was called Texas versus Azar. Azar's Secretary of Health and Human Services. That's kind of the way those always go. In December 2019, the Texas court ruled that because the individual mandate tax was zero, then that eliminated the individual mandate, because there was no severability clause in Obamacare, in the law, the PPACA, there was no severability clause, of whether it was an oversight or whatever, because it was just a mess of how they got it passed. I won't go into that, thankfully. But because it was such a mess the way they passed it, back and forth and changing this and changing that, there was no severability clause, which when we sign a contract, there's always a clause in there that says, toward the end, that says if any part of this contractor agreement is found to be illegal or unenforceable, then all the other that provision can be taken out and the rest of the contract remains intact. That's a severability clause. Typically, legislation has it, but there's always a question, and there's still questions. They're still going to be talking about that. With this decision, is severability implied or not?
Is that the question that they're asking then? Is that what's before the Supreme Court?
Yes.
Okay.
That's going to be one of the questions. Is this severable, or is the individual mandate essential to the entire law? Because that was an argument on the 2012 Supreme Court case. That's why I wanted to go back to that for a minute so everybody kind of understood what the context of all this is. The Obamacare supporting lawyers, legal team, claimed that the individual mandate was absolutely essential to the entire law. Well, we know the entire law, 2,700 pages, had all these agencies created. There was so much other stuff in there. And Judge Scalia famously said, if you expect me to go through the entire law and take out everything that's unrelated to the individual mandate, you know, that's considered a violation of my Fourth Amendment rights or something. You know, you can't induce cruel and unusual punishment.
Right.
So Scalia was just a riot with that. So the question was, initially it was pretty much said, the Supreme Court said, either it stands all the way with the individual mandate or not. The individual mandate, you guys say it's essential. Either if it's upheld, then the whole thing stays together. If it's not, if the mandate isn't upheld, then the whole thing falls apart. So that precedent and opinion has really kind of been set. I'm not hearing that mentioned here, but I read the opinion. I read Scalia's opinion, and I read Roberts' opinion. So I'm not sure why they're not talking about that more, although so the question right now, the Supreme Court seems to be leaning, of course, Roberts and now Kavanaugh, are tending to agree that the individual mandate, just because it was shot down, doesn't necessarily mean that the whole thing has to go down. And other people have said the same thing. The circuit court sent it back down and said, you got to work on this some more. So that's one. Right now, yesterday they were arguing, it's not very entertaining, they were arguing about standing. So there are 20 Republican attorneys general and 21 Democrat attorneys general for the states that are arguing this case. California joined in the case, and then they had 17 other states with California that joined this case at the state level in Texas, at the circuit court level, in the Fifth Circuit Court, and then, you know, they added four more Democrat attorneys general.
Okay.
So now we have 41 states that are involved in this suit. Right now, yesterday they were arguing whether or not all of those states have what they call standing, have each of those states, can they prove that they have been injured by Obamacare?
Okay.
So that's what they're doing. It's pretty dry discussion.
Okay. So Jill, regarding time, I think we're going to also on this podcast probably need to delve into this a bit more. It's a great teaser. Just quickly, what's your 30,000 point view right now? What do you think is going to occur here?
I wanted to mention this so that people could hear it on the radio as soon as possible. When they talk about, they want to take away health care for the 25 million people that got health care. No, the 25 million people that got health care went on Medicaid and got government subsidies. We can take care of their health care without that. How about the 25 million people who lost their health care because they couldn't afford the premiums? How many people got, how many people's jobs were reduced down in hours so their employer didn't have to pay for their health insurance? How many people are underinsured because now they're paying ridiculous premiums for policies that have huge deductibles so that they never actually use those in their insurance. That's a lot more than 25 million people, and I don't hear that mentioned a lot. And that really, that makes me mad that people aren't educated enough or they can't find an expert on some news station to at least bring out those things. And Trump, how many times does Trump have to say, we're going to protect pre-existing conditions? And one of the best ways to do that, and he's even mentioned it, you own your policy. Ben Carson said it. I've said it. We've talked about this many times. Own your own policy. That way you don't have to lose your insurance when you change jobs or get laid off or lose your job.
Okay.
So those are a couple of the things that I just wanted to mention to people before we went off.
Okay. Dr. Jill, that is a great teaser for the podcast. We'll be recording that a little bit later this morning. That will be rolled out in this week's newsletter. Sign up for that newsletter at kimmunson.com. Dr. Jill, thank you so much. We will talk to you very soon.
Take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. I was busy all day yesterday and did not pay any attention to what happened in the markets. What happened?
Well, Kim, it was another one of those kind of mixed days where the NASDAQ did pretty good yesterday. It was up 232, but the Dow and the S&P didn't do much. The Dow was actually down 23 points. The S&P was only up a little bit, so yesterday was a NASDAQ day. And it looks like today could be interesting. The Dow futures right now are down about 240. And I believe the NASDAQ futures are up, yes, they're up about 13 points. So we're getting an awful lot of flip-flopping happening in the market. You would almost think it's running for office the way it's been acting the last few days. But, yeah, I had a question that I wish Dr. Jill was still on about the individual mandate. So that was like the thing where if you didn't get insurance, you paid a penalty, right, Kim?
Correct.
So that was meant as kind of a deterrent to people going without insurance whatsoever, and then as soon as they got sick or needed it, they ran out and bought it after they had a condition. And I'm just wondering if getting rid of the individual mandate, you know, kind of actually made things worse and just gave people completely a free ride to wait until they got sick and then run out and get insurance. What do you think?
I'll ask Jill that question as well. But no, the individual mandate was something I think absolutely un-American. It was the first time in the history of our country that government came in and said, if you don't do something, then we are going to fine you. And what happened then is, and I heard as they were coming, you know, trying to sell Obamacare to everybody, that what you just described had been occurring, that people didn't have insurance. They were calling them free riders. And then if they got sick, then at that particular point in time, they did go out and get, I think, government insurance on that. And so, quote unquote, they were trying to get rid of free riders. And it was a way then to sell this whole program, which basically what has happened, and Jill mentioned to it, mentioned it, is that premiums got so high and deductibles got so high that people were paying so much money that in essence they really had unaffordable health care insurance.
Unusable.
But, unusable.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Unusable. And so, once again, this was socialized medicine, Jason. Socialism comes down to force, right there with the individual mandate. If you don't do this, we're going to force you. If you don't do it, we're going to penalize you. And then it made everything unaffordable. And as Jill mentioned, 25 million people lost their insurance, and 25 million people went on government insurance. That doesn't seem like much of a success to me, Jason. What's your quick thought on that?
No, I completely agree with you on all of those points, Kim. You know, the whole thing was a mess. Everybody ended up with much higher premiums and much worse insurance for the most part. I can't disagree with anything you said. I didn't like the individual mandate. I don't like force on things. But, you know, I was just curious what her view was on that, because, again, to me, that was the way they were saying, well, you know, folks that don't have insurance and then they run out and get it, they're going to pay a penalty into the system for doing that. And then all of a sudden, even the penalty went away. But, yeah, what I was hearing was they weren't enforcing that anyway, even when it was in place. So aside from...
I actually have a personal anecdotal story. Someone in my family, a young person, actually it was a mistake and ended up without insurance for a few months, hadn't realized it. And young kid was fined $900. That was a lot of money to him. So, yes, they did enforce
it.
They did enforce it.
Mm-hmm. Well, aside from the social questions on it, I was just more thinking about the, you know, kind of the mechanical questions there. Again, if there's no penalty for, you know, for pulling something that's, you know, underhanded, I mean, that's crummy. That's like getting in a car wreck and then running into your house and buying car insurance or expecting to be able to buy life insurance on somebody after they're dead. It's no different. And that's, you know, it just looked to me like it completely took away the stick, so to speak, for behaving that way.
I will ask her about that in this podcast. So that will be a great teaser, Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management, for our podcast. So, Jason, thank you so much. I recommend people reach out to you and do a discovery session between now and the end of the year with you or one of your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management. And the phone number over there, Jason, is 303-694-1600. 303-694-1600. I'll ask Dr. Jill that question, and we'll have that answer in the podcast.
Sounds great. Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much, Jason. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Marine veteran Captain Doug Chamberlain about his book, Bury Him, A Memoir of the Vietnam War. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
And I'm proud to be an American. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com and go over to Facebook and give us a like. And we may be adjusting some of these things with all this big tech stuff, but at this point, go over to Facebook and give us a like. This is Veterans Day week, and every day this week, I am honored to have one of our veterans tell their story. Each story is unique. It is individual. And when you see a veteran, tell them, say thank them for your freedom. America is the land of the free, home of the brave. And we're free because there are brave people. And one of those is Doug Chamberlain. He is on the line with me. He is a Marine veteran. Doug, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am good. And you and I met at Cooper's Troopers, which is a group of Marines that meets up in North Denver. Although we've not been meeting lately because of COVID, I say we, I get to come to these. But you and I met there, and it's a very special group of men and women there, Doug Chamberlain.
It really is. And I really look forward to the meetings. And of course, as you know, we've had to cancel them pretty much now for the last several months because of the COVID outbreak. But great group. Grady Birdsong got me involved in that. He's been a leader in that organization for a long time, and it's a wonderful time to get together and, you know, swap a few lies.
Well, I consider Grady Birdsong a friend of mine as well, and he introduced us. And you are a Vietnam veteran. You've written a very important book, Bury Him, A Memoir of the Vietnam War. It took you 50 years or so to do this, to write this book, right, Doug?
It really did. And, you know, I think the average Vietnam veteran hung out in the shadows for decades because of the way we were treated. And and I think a lack of confidence that maybe we had done for our country what other veterans we had not done for our country, what other veterans had, like in the World War II, that sort of thing, because we didn't see any resolution to the conflict, and we certainly didn't win anything. And so then I was finally challenged by an off-the-cuff comment from a former student of mine when I taught and coached years ago, and that inspired me to try to put some of the things I was thinking about in writing.
And what was that off-the-cuff comment to you, Doug Chamberlain?
Well, he was—he is a veterinarian, and he was working on one of my cattle, and we were just laughing and talking about the old days when he was playing basketball and I was coaching, and all of a sudden his whole demeanor changed, and he looked me in the eye and he said, "You know, I always wondered why you were so mad and angry," and it hit me like a ton of bricks because I didn't think people had necessarily noticed that. And so after some reflection for 3 or 4 months, I decided that maybe I would sit down and try to write down, put in writing my feelings and as best as I could recall them.
And this book, Bury Him, A Memoir of the Vietnam War, tell us about what happened that day. What led to this book?
Well, I might back up a moment and tell you that I was drafted. I didn't volunteer for the service during the Vietnam era. I was teaching and coaching straight out of college, and then I got drafted. That was before the lottery. They had a local draft board who would pick and choose individuals, and for whatever reason, they chose me. As I always tell people, you know, we had a winning season even. But so I was glad to serve my country. I wanted to fly, and I had one eye that was a tiny bit off, and it couldn't qualify for that. And so I went to the branch of the service that had the shortest officer candidate program. I just wanted to serve my country and get it over with, and that was the Marine Corps. So I went into the Marine Corps and went to Quantico, and then from there, I was held there a year because I was a basketball player and they used it for recruiting. So I didn't go over to Vietnam until I was a first lieutenant, where all of my friends had gone over as second lieutenants. And so when I got there, I didn't have any infantry background other than training. I hadn't been a platoon commander as normally was the case. And I reported into an infantry battalion as a newbie, and they looked at me like, "What are you doing here? You know, you don't have any experience other than basketball." And through a tragic circumstance, one of my friends became the commanding officer of Echo Company, 2nd Battalion, 7th Marines, and was killed 3 days later. And because of that, there weren't any other officers in the battalion who didn't have a command. And so the colonel looked at me and said, finally, "Well, go get him, Tiger." And he had the confidence that I could handle the situation, even though I didn't have the experience that I really needed. And, of course, what happened next was what is true in the military, and that is that my NCOs and staff NCOs, you know, who are the backbone of the Marine Corps, were stepped forward and helped me in so many ways to learn the ropes and learn them fast. It was a very steep learning curve. And so as we progressed forward, that was in the fall of 1967. And then, of course, the Tet Offensive came along in 1968, where the Marine casualties escalated tremendously. And we were on an operation called Operation Worth. And southwest of Da Nang, at that particular time, I was attached to 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, because sometimes you didn't always stay with your regular battalion. And on March 25th of 1968, we found the remains of a Marine who had been left behind.
And that is something that is inherent in the Marine Corps, is you do not leave a man behind, correct, Doug?
That's true. And as you notice in any of the recruiting ads for the branches of the service, that's common. You don't leave people behind.
Were you shocked when you came upon the remains of this soldier?
He was a Marine, but...
Did I just say something? Is there a difference between a Marine and a soldier? Did I just say something that needs to be clarified?
Yeah, the Army, they refer to them as soldiers. Marines, we refer to as Marines. It's not denigrating the Army at all. We're just different.
Okay.
Different nomenclature, but both are, in this particular case, we'd be referring to someone in the infantry units.
Okay.
But he was laying on a poncho, face up. His dog tags were on him, and he had been there for quite a while, obviously, from his condition, and he was missing his left leg, and it was just a shock beyond belief, quite frankly.
Okay, and then what did you decide to do? What happened?
Well, what the normal procedure was for, let's just stick with KIA, meaning killed in action. When you have somebody killed in action, you call for a helicopter to remove the remains. Normally, of course, you would imagine the wounded would go first. But that's how you removed people who were killed in action, would be to get a helicopter and then get them out of there. They'd be taken to the morgue at that time in Da Nang. But in this particular case, it was just this one individual. And the other thing you did whenever you found the remains, if you had some way of positively identifying them, you gave, through coded information, you gave the serial number and the rank and all that sort of thing. And so I did that. I called the first battalion 7th Marines headquarters and said, I need a helicopter to take out these remains. But I was in such shock, I couldn't imagine how this could have possibly been done intentionally. And I was refused a helicopter. And so when fortunately, I had a radio operator standing there listening to all of it, because it was like a horror movie. And so I, in the course of the conversation, short clips of conversation, I told him I couldn't, I just couldn't believe that was, they couldn't get me a helicopter. I said, we can't carry the remains with us. It jeopardizes the safety of our whole company. And, so then they came back, whoever that individual was, and said, just bury him. And to this day, is one of the most haunting things I've ever heard. And when I got back to them and said I couldn't believe that, they said, don't rock the boat. This is an order, bury him. And that's what is the phrase on the front of the book. And it was something that changed the lives of all of my men who were involved and me. And it still to this day plagues me. But at least now within the book, you see the government documentation that verifies what actually went on, which was much more extensive than I would have ever imagined.
Well, and on the front of the book, you actually have a picture of Soldier, and he's got a cross where you did bury him. Doug Chamberlain, Marine veteran, let's go to break. We were talking about your book, Bury Him, a memoir of the Vietnam War. Before we do that, though, this show comes to you because of the great sponsors that I have, and one of them is Castlegate Knife and Tool, which is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. If you're a collector, you're in luck. If you're military personnel, you're in luck. If you're a sportsman, you're in luck. If you need a utility knife for the house, you're in luck. How about some new kitchen knives? You're in luck. Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place to go. Be sure and check out their website. That's castlegate.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with a Marine veteran, Captain Doug Chamberlain, on his book, Bury Him, A Memoir of the Vietnam War. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter as well. Because it is Veterans Day week, Veterans Day is on November 11th. We are featuring a veteran in the third and fourth segment. Today I'm talking with Marine veteran Captain Doug Chamberlain regarding an order that was given to him to bury him, to not rock the boat. This is an order. Those words were seared in your memory for all these years, Doug Chamberlain. Continue on. What happened?
Well, the shock, psychological shock of something like that is more than I could imagine. But in my mind, through all these years, then after that comment from my student, I realized that I had obviously become someone psychologically that I didn't even recognize and had no idea how I was preserved or observed by other people. So, but back to what happened, my decision at that point obviously was to follow orders. I tried contacting my own battalion, but in the mountains we were too far and I couldn't reach them. So, I thought it best if my regular Marines were not involved. I had my executive officer, who was a lieutenant, a first lieutenant, and a staff sergeant assist me. And there were several bomb craters in the area. And so I picked a bomb crater I thought I could see from the air, because I was going to try to do everything I could to come back and get this Marine at some point. And so the picture on the front of the book is a picture that was taken by Corporal Joe Frieda. The other Marine on the cover is Corporal Joe Nukowski. And because I was afraid that a gravesite might be found by the North Vietnamese or Viet Cong and end out in people's hands like Jane Fonda, that kind of information, I decided not to mark the grave. But my Marines, unbeknownst to me, put a small wooden cross on the spot where the Marine was buried, because in their horrified world, they were afraid that he would never be recovered. So it was in 2018 at a reunion, and Corporal Frieda came to me and had that picture, and he'd had it all these years, and he wanted to know if I wanted it for the book. And that's immediately then when it became the cover of the book. And it was an astonishing time. I know when we left that area the next day, they had left a helmet liner and some prayer beads on that little stick cross. And as we left, I just can't describe how betrayed that we all felt.
Well, this and you really need to get the book to read to understand this, but this uncovered something over time, and that there were other things that happened to you as well that were distressing. And we've got about 5 minutes, Doug. So what parts do you want to make sure our listeners hear in this? And then we'd recommend that people get the book. Where can people get the book, Doug Chamberlain?
You can go to my website, marinedougchamberlain.com, and you can get a hardback copy signed from me. I mail those all from here in LaGrange, Wyoming. Or you can go to amazon.com, of course, and get a paperback copy or an ebook. You can also go to audible.com if you would prefer an audiobook. That just came out about a month ago. So several different ways if you're interested. excuse me. The long story short, when we got back to my regular outfit, I reported what happened. That set off a tidal wave of activity. And unbeknownst to me, an Article 31 investigation by the Marine Corps into my actions. I was never, ever asked or allowed to testify as to what happened other than when I made my initial report.
And what is Article 31 investigation? What is that?
An Article 31 investigation is a potential criminal investigation over illegal actions. And, of course, that was about me. And but I didn't know it until we got into the actual records, my officer qualification records, and found that out. Those records had been withheld for whatever reason for me all those years, because at different times it seemed like I would go through psychological phases of thinking about that incident, and I always wondered what happened to the to the remains. And I'm a graduate of John Brown University in Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and another graduate who graduated in 1999 became a forensic investigator. I was introduced to him, and he's a genius at internet research, and we were able to find all the government documents necessary to prove that I was ordered to bury the Marine. And so from that standpoint, I was vindicated, and actually had been all those years. But for whatever reason, the Marine Corps wanted to keep that thing under wraps.
So with this, you just recently wrote this book. It's been within the last few years, correct, Doug Chamberlain?
Yes, it took me about 4.5 years to write it because I wrote what I could recall, and 50 years in a fog of war, you begin to wonder if you really, really remember things the way they were. But amazingly, once we got a hold of the documentation, my memory was pretty accurate. And the records show that President Johnson became involved. Senator Bobby Kennedy was involved just prior to his assassination. And Secretary of the Navy, Commandant of the Marine Corps. But I knew nothing about that until I was stationed in Hawaii after I left Vietnam, and the personnel officer there attacked me verbally when I arrived and started accusing me of all kinds of things. And that's the first time I realized that had gone way beyond anything I could imagine.
And one thing I think it is important, if I recall, you did go back and find this Marine, correct?
I was able to go back. I took a group of volunteers with me. We went back, and we were able to exhume him from the little shallow grave and take him to the morgue in Da Nang. But the cover-up and intrigue that followed that were unbelievable, because what the records show is that his left leg that was missing had been sent to the morgue, taken to the morgue in Da Nang, and told that that was all the remains that could be recovered. And that, of course, was ended up being sent home to the parents and told that that was his entire remains. And the records now show they ended up having to have two funerals. It's very sordid, very sordid.
Okay, well, the book is an important one. We have 1 minute left, Doug Chamberlain. What is the final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think it's important that we pursue the truth at all times. In the Code of the West, which I believe in, you know, adamantly, that's one of the principles is that you don't lie to people. You tell the truth. You know where to draw the line, and you try to do what's best and what's right for everyone concerned. And the effect it had on a lot of my Marines, they are passed away. They don't even know what we finally found through this investigation. But I hope it'll give people a look at what the loyalty should be between individuals, and traditionally what has always been the loyalty between the United States Marines.
Marine veteran Doug Chamberlain, thank you so much. And again, that book is Bury Him, A Memoir of the Vietnam War. Thank you so much for my freedom.
Thank you, Kim.
Okay. And my friends, our quote for today is from Alexander Hamilton. He said, there is a certain enthusiasm in liberty that makes human nature rise above itself in acts of bravery and heroism. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Want to cry.